Nahum chapter 1, a divine word about Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. Where was Elkosh? Elkosh is a little village just outside Nineveh. So Nahum came from near Nineveh, but he's obviously a believer in Yahweh. Well, let's think back about Nineveh. What do you know about Nineveh? Well, God said before this, sometime before this, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah went there, preached to Nineveh, and they repented. And they accepted Yahweh, and God said, okay, I won't destroy Nineveh then. So it would seem that as a result of that, there arose in Nineveh a group of people who believed in the one true God. We actually know that because Jesus says that the men of Nineveh will be resurrected in the judgment, and that they will be in the kingdom, whereas the Jews of the time of Jesus will not be. So did Nineveh remain believing? No, they didn't. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, who was to be the great enemy of God's people. So I think this is Nahum, who is a believer, who lives there in the area around Nineveh, and he is appealing to Nineveh to repent, because there's going to be a great judgment upon them. He's really telling them in more detail what Jonah did in a previous generation, but they didn't believe Nahum, whereas they did believe Jonah. So he says, Yahweh is a jealous God and avenges. Yahweh avenges and is full of wrath. Yahweh takes vengeance on his adversaries. Yahweh is slow to anger and great in power, and will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. So it's not that God is just angry and gets easily provoked and starts lashing out in wrath. He is very slow to anger. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And yet despite that, he will punish wickedness, especially when it's abuse of his people. And so the wrath that he has is because he has been very slow and patient to coming towards that anger. So don't think that if you mess up, oh, you know, God's mad with you straight away. Not at all. God is very patient. That doesn't mean it's okay to sin or mess up. But God is very patient, and he is love. And the pole of his love and mercy is far greater than the pole of his necessary judgment. Yahweh has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, and dries up all the rivers. Bashan languishes and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken apart by him. So Nahum is warning them that this is how powerful God is, and he is angry with you, and he was angry with Nineveh because of their attitude to his people. Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. But with an overflowing flood he will make a full end of his adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. So on one hand, Nahum's saying God is very angry and very powerful, and his wrath is absolutely destructive. But Yahweh is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He can save, he wants to save. What do you plot against Yahweh? How foolish to think you can make a plan against God. He will make a full end. Affliction won't rise up the second time. For while they are entangled in thorns and intoxicated with their drink, they will be utterly consumed like dry stubble. There is one gone forth out of you who devises evil against Yahweh, who counsels wickedness. This is the intention of the king of Assyria, who was based in Nineveh, to attack God's people. There is one gone forth out of you, that is somebody who had come out of Nineveh. Thus says Yahweh, though they be in full strength and many, even so they will be cut down, and he shall pass away. Now will I break his yoke from off you, and will burst your bonds apart. I think this means that he's talking here to Israel, that in the end, the Assyrian yoke was going to be taken off them, and he was going to judge Assyria. Yahweh has commanded concerning you, no more descendants will bear your name. Out of the house of your gods will I cut off the engraved image and the molten image. I will make your grave, for you are vile. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Keep your feasts, Judah, perform your vows, for the wicked one will no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Well, the idea was that he will be utterly cut off, but it says he is utterly cut off. That's because, as Paul says, God speaks about those things that don't now exist as if they do. Because when God says something, even though it hasn't yet happened, it is that certain of happening. So the appeal of Nahum, who, as I say, I think was from Nineveh, is for Judah to repent, to keep their feasts, so that they will not be destroyed by Assyria, but rather Assyria will be destroyed. And yet he's appealing for Assyria to also repent. So you can see there's a need for repentance all around. And really, if they had said yes to it, if Assyria had repented, as they did in the time of Jonah, and if Judah had repented, I suppose you would have had a situation pretty close to the kingdom of God on earth.